Hallelujah. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. You believe that? Hallelujah. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Hey, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Hallelujah. Good morning. Praise God. Wonderful to see everyone here this morning. All right, you've got time for fellowship after church, so take your seats. There's tea and coffee after that for all that. I didn't say start a conversation, I said say hello. Hallelujah. Welcome, if you're new this morning, we want to say welcome to you. I want our families here in this church to welcome those who are visiting us this morning. Wave to me this morning, please. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, give them a... Nice living lads, welcome. Woo, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wanted to acknowledge Marama, Ato, Willie, Pastor Jack's wife is here this morning with us. We welcome you, Marama. Welcome to Living Light Gospel Church. You know, I want you all to come this morning and see, God never started a church. God started a family. And most of you think you belong to a church. Where did you get that from? Where did you get that doctrine from that you belong to a church? You belong to a family. A family of God. God started a kingdom, not a church. We decided to put labels and all this stuff on and make us part of something. We are part of the kingdom of God. Amen? And this church is kingdom focused. It's not label focused. It's not labeling you for so you belong to them, that, this and that. We are a family. So when you come to church, you go, hey, I'm going to go today and see all my family from the kingdom. They're going to be there today. We're going to worship together. We're going to praise God together. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Papa God, they expected us to walk according to how you have programmed and allowed us to walk, Father God, for our purpose in life. Today, I thank you. I pray, God, anoint your word. Anoint your word today. And I pray, Lord, hide me from the people, oh God, so that they only hear your voice and your voice alone. Nothing else, oh God, but your voice. For you said, Jesus, that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Lord, we just stand on his word today. Let your word go forth now. Let it not come back void. God, let it accomplish every purpose that you have for this word today. I give you praise, give you honor, and give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Hallelujah. We don't have Sunday school today. But pray for Jenny, pray for Chloe. Chloe's not well today, so Jenny couldn't make it to church. And that's why the kids are with us this morning inside the building. So continue to pray for them. We need Sunday school helpers. We need people that can stand in when Jenny's not well. So if you are feeling motivated and convicted after this message, then come and see me. Amen. Hallelujah. My message title is, you know, I've been using a lot of God's word as my message title. But I'll come to that part when I get to through to what I really wanted to release this morning to you. And, you know, the introduction to this message is Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Hallelujah. So first scripture this morning. Oh, those of us, those who are watching this morning, welcome. You're in your lounge room this morning. First scripture this morning, Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, says, "Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth." Serve the Lord with sincerity and truth. Fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and truth. You know, God loves his church, his bride. His church is the center of his focus. It was created to be the salt and the light in this dark world today. You know, as a whole, we are the body of Christ. And that's what I said this morning. It was working together, each bringing our specific gifts and talents and finances into the house so that the will of the Father can be done through you and I. I'm talking about the will of God this morning. It is part and parcel and the blueprint for the gospel mission. Is that you use your will to serve God's will. Hallelujah. Jesus prayed a powerful prayer to his Father in John chapter 17, verse 22 to 23. And he says, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be," what? "One, just as we are one." Hallelujah. "I in them and you in me, that they may be part," or "they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me. And I have loved them as you have loved me." Hallelujah. It's the way we are created. We can do more for God together than we can do as individuals. Hello, somebody. We can do more together, hallelujah, for God than we can do by ourselves. We can accomplish more for God working as a team than we can by ourselves. Somebody say amen to that. There is no Rambo in the kingdom of God. You know this movie Rambo? That's all lies. This is Hollywood stuff that you can do things by yourself. No. You are an army of God sitting inside the church today. Therefore, God expects us to have love. What? First of all, love for one another. Come together as one, as his church, in service of who? Of him. That's the whole requirement for you. To come together as one, in one accord, in oneness. That's the book of Acts blueprint right there. Revival starts when we are one. When we come together as one. That is the book of the Acts principle. But as it's often been said, it seems that 20% of people in the local church are doing 80% of the work. Oh, hello, somebody. While the rest sit in the pews like spectators in bleachers watching a sporting event. Oh, hello, somebody. Sit up straight. We're going to deal with some of this stuff today. Hallelujah. Do you know what the bleachers is? Do you know what bleachers are? I'll explain to you what bleachers are. Bleachers are part of an outdoor sports stadium or seats in an area where you can order drinks, order your food, and sit down and watch the game. You're a spectator. And you're drinking. And you're spectating what's going on around you. And that's what bleachers are. So remember this word bleachers, because I'm going to use it a lot in this short sermon. Spirit in you all. Unfortunately, churches have become bleachers for many Christians. Hello, somebody. This makes the church much less effective, and it hinders the spread of the gospel. When you're in the bleachers, you are hindering the spread of the gospel. Hallelujah. So if we want to be a man after God's own heart, as in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, like young David, we have to have a heart for the same things as God has. And that includes his house, the church. You know, when people say, "I don't need church, you know, I can just fellowship at home and I can be just by myself," this is a foolish talk. You are foolish if you talk like that. You need the church. You need the church for you to grow and bear fruit inside the church. You need fellowship. You need people around you that can speak into your life. You need people around you that can correct you and make sure that you don't follow false prophets and false teachers and follow after something that God did never want to do in the first place. That's why you need the church, my friends. This foolish talk of, oh, I don't need the church. I just want to stay home and worship. I won't say anymore. Now, if you recognize yourself as a person still sitting in the bleachers, listen to me, be encouraged today, because God knows your gifts. God understands your gifts. God created you. Every person was created with a gift, my friend. Every person was created not poor. We make ourselves poor from what? Laziness. The Bible tells us that. So every person has a gift. Every person is different. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you, believes in you, and has created you with very special abilities that are greatly needed inside the church. And he's challenging every one of us this morning to stand up and come down from our bleachers and get to work. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus famously said something. He says, what? Come, follow me. He just said that. He says, come, follow me. Literally, he was saying in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, he says, mimic me. Do what I do. That is to do what I do. Behave like I behave. Amen. Hallelujah. Love what I love and hate what I hate. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Love what he loves and hate what he hates. Not love what he loves and love what he hates. Hallelujah. Be committed to building what I've committed to building. And what? That is his church. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, he says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now how many of us can stand with all confidence and say that? Hallelujah. That only comes from a man full of the Holy Ghost. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, you can stand up and be confident and say, follow me, hallelujah. Imitate me, for I imitate Christ, hallelujah. How many of us can do that this morning? Because the truth is that we cannot do that unless the Holy Ghost lives inside of us. Hallelujah. And many times we pick and choose the Holy Spirit, hello somebody, as a clock or a coat inside the cupboard that we can, when we need him, we put him on and we go to church. And then when we don't need him, we take him out and we put him inside the clock again. And that's how we live our lives. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. Hallelujah. From Monday to Monday, pick up your cross and follow me. Not come on Sunday with your cross. Show it to everybody, then go out to the door, lock it up in the lock-up garage from Monday to Saturday, and then wait till Sunday, bring it out again, and pick it up, and walk with the cross back to the church. Hallelujah. That is not what God wants us to do. So I'm proud of this young manly servant. I tell you what, I was so proud of this young man. And I looked at them and I said, these are young Pacific Island brothers. This is the people from the Pacific. These are the people from the outermost part of the world. Hallelujah. The gospel was the last. We were the last to receive the gospel right here in the outermost part of the world, in the Pacific. And I said, that's the manly seven standing up and speaking for what they believe in. Refusing to wear the rainbow colors, promoting the abomination of Satan. Hallelujah. Mate, I tell you, that takes guts to stand knowing that an angry crowd will come after them. And the angry crowds already throwing stones at them, cursing them, ridiculing them. This is the spiritual stones being thrown. The same thing they did with Jesus physically, they are doing to this manly seven right now. And I say to you, pray for them, because that will happen to us as well. If you stand for truth, you will be stoned by the public. Hallelujah. That's why there's no time to be saying, you know what, I don't need church. You need church, my friends. You need church more than ever today. You need church. This young man chose the burning oven instead of promoting something they don't believe in. This young man choosing to stand before a firing squad because they believe in something. Using what? Their will to declare God's righteousness. Amen. That's a willpower that comes from people who have the Holy Ghost. Amen. You cannot declare and promote righteousness when you don't have it. The Bible says, you know, not the Bible says, but there's a saying that I always use. The devil can counterfeit cannot counterfeit righteousness. He can mimic and counterfeit everything else, but when it comes to righteousness, that's a character that belongs to God, and he can't have it. You cannot mimic righteousness. You're going to pretend to be a Christian. You're going to pretend to be something that you're not. Hallelujah. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. And this thing, this declaration of not wearing this uniform with these rainbow colors, that comes from people full of the Holy Ghost. People that are sold out for Christ, that believe in what they believe. Hallelujah. That kind of action, my friends, is the kind of action that the three young men in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did that in that oven. And Christ, the fourth man, was with them. When the king looked, he says, I know I sent three in the oven, but I can see four in there. Hallelujah. My friends, when you stand for your faith, when you stand for what you believe, the fourth man will stand with you. Hallelujah. The manly seven are some of the bravest young men that I've ever come across. And the angry mob are mocking them and cursing them and spitting on them like they did to Jesus. Hallelujah. This kind of action, I tell you, it takes courage from the Holy Spirit. Friends, let me tell you this. The very nature of your will implies what? Self-control. Because your will controls your destiny. Whatever you do now, that's why we should stop blaming. Listen very carefully. Stop blaming the devil for everything, please. Please. Checking under every rock if devil's been doing something to you. Devil did this and devil did that. And, you know, I blame the devil for everything. Listen. Your willpower is the most powerful, powerful gift that God has given to you. That is why this church, my friends, really depends on you choosing God's will so that we can move the church forward to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. It needs you to use God's will. It needs you to become God's will for the purpose of the gospel. Hallelujah. The church cannot move unless you choose God's will this morning. God says, not my will. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done on earth. As we were praying on Saturday, I was very, very burdened by something, because I looked up and there was no one in the prayer. And there's only a handful of people inside. And I spoke to the Lord in my spirit. I said, Lord, why are people not coming for prayer? Why is it that they can come on Sunday, but when it comes to the call of prayer, no one turns up? Only the faithful few. And this is what the Lord spoke to my spirit. Many of them do not have my will at heart. They think they have it in their minds, but they don't have it in their heart. Because if God's will sits in your heart, you will be ready to go for Jesus. Hallelujah. If it's in the mind, you are just a pure woman. But if it's in the heart, you become ready to go for Jesus. And that's what the Lord says. Many of them do not have my will at heart yet. And sadly, it is what is happening inside the church. That is the sad reality of today's church. Please pause, salah on this for a minute. Marinate on that for a minute. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you about this statement. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 to 44. Jesus prayed at Garden of Gethsemane and asked his Father, not just once, but three times, is there another way we could do this? He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, God, Papa God, is there another way we could do this? Because his human flesh could not bear the pain anymore. But the same answer came every time. And it says, not my will, but your will be done. Hallelujah. Verse 39. He went a little farther or further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And in the same breath, he uttered out the words, says, Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That should be our prayer. That should be our prayer. Verse 40, then he came to the disciples and found them doing their own will. That's our will. Most of us love that will in the place of prayer. sleeping and said to Peter, poor Peter, he copies it every time. So Jesus came and he saw his disciples, and but he particularly pointed to Peter. He says, Peter, you are the boss of all this group. And poor Peter always copies it every time when something goes wrong. But he says, Peter, what? Could you not watch with me over 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into the temptation. And the spirit indeed is willing, he says, but the flesh is weak. And verse 42 again, he says, and again the second time he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me. Listen to this. Listen to how he phrased this. He says, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, then your will be done. Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't praying that if there's a way, then use that way. He's saying, if there's a way, but if you want me, then let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. My friends, the church must seriously now start doing God's will, because we cannot move until every single person starts to do God's will, starts to walk in God's will, starts to operate in God's will. Hallelujah. A few months ago, I said something which upset few people when I said these things about rapture. And if you're a believer of rapture, praise God for you. I believe that too. But I don't ponder on that. You know, a few months ago, I can remember, I said something, and I'll quote something I said. I said, the rapture doctrine has caused the church to become complacent, ineffective, and full of spectators. In the departure lounge, eating, drinking, watching a game, waiting for the departure to fly away while the whole world is dying and going to hell. That's talking about us. We sit in the departure lounge room, waiting for rapture, some to fly away somewhere, while the whole world is dying and going to hell. And God wants you and I to continue the work that He started with 12 guys on this earth. Hallelujah. My friends, that is not God's will for us. We can't be spectators in the kingdom of God. There is no spectators in the kingdom of God. Everyone has come into the kingdom equipped for something. Hallelujah. Equipped to do something, whether it's small or great, equipped for something. Elijah said to me, he said, Father, you know, from small things, big things grow. I said, yeah. From small things, big things grow. Praise the Lord. I just had to bring that in, you know. He's right about something. From small things, big things grow. And I said, yeah. And straight away, I looked at his stomach and I said, yeah. From small things, big things grow. Hallelujah. My friends, God wants us not to be inside the departure lounge. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his eyes. We are his ears. And we are his voice. The gospel of the kingdom of God depends on those who are called by his name, filled with the Spirit to share and get involved and not just spectate from the bleachers. I am not rapture focused. I am kingdom focused. I want to be found in the kingdom doing the will of God when that happens. If Jesus comes back, I want to be found preaching the gospel. I don't want to be found sharing the gospel. I want to be found doing the will of the Father on this earth. The parable of the talents should teach us something, that we should never have all these talents and not multiply it and use it for the glory of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 15 to 19. Let's read it together. I love that scripture. And that is a prayer for those who are waiting in the departure lounge. Let's read it together. Can we put it up there? Let's read it together. John chapter 17, verse 15 to 19. Thank you, Abby. Okay, let's read it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Where did it say Jesus is going to come and take you away? He prayed for you to stay so that you can complete the work of God. Verse 16 says, They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. 17. Sanctify them by your truth, and your word is truth. 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Hallelujah. That's our verse. That's the church right there. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, I don't think I have anything to give. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Hallelujah. You have everything to give. You know, let's just consider the geese. You know, the geese? The geese certainly know how to follow. We human beings are still finding it hard to follow Christ. But the geese have a principle, and God created them. Have you ever seen a flock of geese migrating? And now they fly in a V formation. And the leading V, or the leading geese, is the one that breaks the wind. It breaks that as it's going against the wind, the aerodynamics, and the rest of the geese, they flow inside the draft that is already created. Wow. That's God. I cannot think of other animal that are so brilliant. So they aerodynamically inside the draft like cars in a speeding race. And they honk as they're going to encourage one another. Hallelujah. Honk, honk, honk. And they're encouraging one another. And when the leading geese gets tired, if he gets to the back and then another geese takes over and continues creating the draft as they're flowing together. Hallelujah. They not only honk as kind of encouraging rally cry for the entire group, but they also rotate and lead each other's position. They seem to know that in order for their flock to get to their desired destination and maintain its vitality, they must take 10 at the helm and distribute the baton equally. Wow. That's church. That should be a picture we should have for church. This is not just the pastor's job to do all that, to preach the gospel, to prepare the word, to do all this. It's every person's job to take on the gospel of Jesus Christ and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. In a very real sense, the lead goose breaks the air and creates a V formation. Hallelujah. And the entire group flows. Today, there's a lot of honking inside the church going on in the body of Christ. Some of it is good and encouraging. Some of it is not good, but dangerous and destructive. And sadly, the honking, most of it, comes from people who have decided to make the bleachers their dwelling places. People sit in the spectator room and honk discouragement and speak against church and pull churches down and talk against the church and talk against the pastors and talk against the Christians. They're the bleachers. They're people sitting inside, eating and drinking, waiting to fly away somewhere. Hello, somebody. Let's sit up and deal with this. These are the truth that we must deal with it. Because if we don't, we will never succeed in what God has called us to do. Out from the bleachers, the Father is calling. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. And that's my scripture title message this morning. It gives us the powerful principle regarding the title of this message this morning. Let's read that together. It's a story of Zacchaeus. All of you know that. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree, to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, then Jesus reached the spot. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, he says, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So the Bible says, so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone or anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Hallelujah. In one day, Zacchaeus went from being a guy who was watching from the bleachers, the sidelines, to being a guy who was absolutely in the game with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He was a fan, a spectator, on a tree, watching the game. But when Jesus called, he became a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Many of us need to come down from our sycamore tree today. When it comes to having a relationship with God, everyone spends at least some time observing from the bleachers, from their favorite branches, whatever that branch is, whether it's a guava tree or your mango tree. We're talking about the sycamore. The word of caution is this: don't stay there too long. There is a word of caution. Don't stay on the branch for too long. And friends, that's what the bleachers are. They're the tree that Zacchaeus climbed, a place of observation from a distance without participation, safe and uncommitted to the things of God. But the bleachers are also a place of unfulfilled destiny and unrealized purpose. If you discover your purpose, you'll be hungry for God. If you know why you were saved, you will be hungry for God. You'll be radical for Christ. Hallelujah. But a lot of us get saved and we don't know our purpose in life. We just float around wondering what we should be doing. And that's why the church is a good place for you to come and serve a vision where you will find your own. Hallelujah. You just can't fulfill your destiny in life or in God by staying in the seat of comfort and complacency. Ships are built to go out and face storms. They're not built to just stay in the harbor. They're built in a particular way to be able to go out into the ocean and face the storms. Friends, you and I have been called to live our lives not spectating from the bleachers, spectating from the departure lounge, spectating from a sycamore tree or mango tree or coconut tree, whatever tree you love. Get off that tree now, this morning. Tell your neighbor, get off your sycamore. Quietly whisper, get off your sycamore. Come on, tell your neighbor. You're all here for one thing, and that is to serve God, so don't be scared. Don't be offended. Hallelujah. My friends, we are called to pick our cross and follow Him. We are called to put our hands on the plow and never looking back. We are called to serve in our local church using the gifts. The parable of the talent I said before must teach us something. You know, Jesus loves the people in the bleachers. Zacchaeus was on top of everybody's unlovable list. Everybody hated the guy because the Romans put so much pressure on the tax on the day, and some of those tax collectors had to really cheat. You know, the guy was a thief. But Jesus saw something in him. And Janet talked about the badges they put on you. You're this and you're that and you're that and this and that. Jesus took all the badges. He took Zacchaeus' badges of thievery and said, you are now in the game. No more watching from a distance for you. And Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. Hallelujah. He was a weasel, a thief, and you can call him everything you want. But he was also drawn to Jesus and watched from afar, like many of us today. Many of us come from far and sit at the back. I used to do that, sit from afar, and as soon as the service finished, whew, I'm gone. You think I'm telling your story? I'm telling my story. This message this morning is for me. I was that person. I was the sycamore tree guy. I was the bleachers guy. I was sitting there until God had to shake me into realization that I wasn't just here to warm pews. There's something in me that I can do for Him. Hallelujah. So he called Zacchaeus. He says, Zac, I'm coming to your house to break bread this morning. Breaking bread in ancient Israel is one of the biggest, and most important occasion for every Jew. Breaking bread. He says, I'm coming to your house. When he said, I'm breaking bread at your house, that, you imagine what it would do to Zacchaeus. That's why covenant to each other is really beautiful. And this morning, I want to welcome Pastor Netani and Pastor Tevita and Marama and all the children that are here this morning. They're my covenant brothers of the gospel. We've connected together to preach the gospel in the Cape and all over the Indigenous community of Australia. They're here to join us today. And I cut covenant with this man. And they're the man from the Pacific, the great ocean of the Pacific. They've come to your land here to serve with you. Most of us are not from here. We are from other places, but we're here because we believe in what God is about to do in this nation. Hallelujah. When I sat down and I said, God, why did you keep me in Yothaini for 28 years? He says, I want you to know these people well because you're going to go back and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And then I met up with young men like this, those amazing men of God. Papa Manu is here this morning. He's a man that leads the Pacific Islands Prayer Network. And he's here because he believes in this. He held me this morning and he hugged me and he says, you're the man of the hour. God has called you for something. You know, that's an encouragement I should get from papas. And I was encouraged. I said, I don't get that from anybody. Because sometimes I'm saying, God, am I doing the right thing? Am I going the right direction? Are we doing this? You know, the papa said, keep going. Whatever you're doing, keep going. Don't change. Don't change for anybody. Hallelujah. Continue to speak truth. Continue to go against everything that your mind can tell you that it's going to come against you. Sometimes after I finish preaching, I go home, I said, I'm waiting for the stones to fly. And you know, unfortunately, many of the stones come from Christians. I have not had one stone from a worldly person get thrown at me yet. Most of the stones that get thrown at me are from Christians. And most of them sit in the bleachers. They sit at the sycamore trees. They go to churches that don't teach them about that. They don't preach sin to them. They go to churches that covered sin. Pastors are too scared to talk about sin because they might lose people inside the church. I'm not here to build any man's kingdom. I'm here whether you like me, you hate me. Praise God. I'm still here. And I'm going to continue to do that. People throw stones at us. You know, my brothers who are here today, they get stoned as well for speaking against the abomination that's happening around them. And they get stones thrown at them. Not from outside the world, from the church. Yeah. Praise God. And that's the burden why I wanted to release this message this morning. To stay your spirit up. Hallelujah. You know, the people that Jesus were all shocked at this teacher and the healer who claimed to be God and reached out a friendship to a hardened sinner. Even those that try to keep a safe distance from Jesus are still in his radar. You can be sitting there going, I don't think I can offer anything. Go, oh, you are in God's radar. You are. You know that thing that goes around? Beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep, beep. You are still in the radar of God. You can try to move out, the radar moves with you too. You will not get out of the radar of God. You are called for something great in God. Hallelujah. You know, God's love it's not earned. It's free. He gave it to us free. We just did communion today. Free. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love is unconditional. Indiscriminate, everlasting, and undeserving. Hallelujah. He doesn't love you because he felt emotion about something. God doesn't love you out of emotion. God loves you because he wants to love you. He chooses to love you. Jesus believes in the people in the bleachers. And if you're in the bleachers today, if you're sitting on a sycamore tree this morning, Jesus absolutely believes in you. And his call is this morning for you to come down from that sycamore tree. I think we're in Australia, so we should just call it a gum tree. Yeah. Us in the Pacific is the coconut tree. Oh, praise the Lord. When you are hated and rejected by everyone, no matter how happy you have, maybe, or seem on the outside, you can't possibly be happy inside without Christ. Zacchaeus knew who he was and what he had done. He felt ashamed, undeserving. That's why he was watching from the back. Just imagine that. Most of us were like that. Even that man called, who's the guy that went and saw Jesus and asked him about born again? Nicodemus. Nicodemus also went to see Jesus, but he was a Pharisee. And so he snuck in to see Jesus 4 o'clock in the morning when everyone was still asleep, because he didn't want everybody to see him. And he went to Jesus and he said, listen, you've been preaching about this born again thing. He says, how do you get into this kingdom? This kingdom you've been talking about, how do you get into it? And then Jesus began to explain to him how he should get in. And Zacchaeus was the same. And many of us here this morning, you may be sitting on that sycamore tree or whatever gum tree you love, and God is calling you. Come down from that. Come down from that. You can't watch from that. He needs you inside the kingdom. Hallelujah. He needs you inside the function so that we can accomplish the call of God in this church life before he comes back. Before the return of the Lord, we must all fulfill what God has called us to do. Hallelujah. Jesus calls everyone, he says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Hallelujah. You know, I've observed people floating around churches. And you know, we call them butterfly spirits in PNG. They want somebody or a pastor that is good for them. You know, I'm not everybody's favorite pastor. And I don't want to be. I don't want you to be, favorite pastor. I want you to understand that all of us were called for one thing and one thing only, and that is to speak truth. Preach the truth. Be truth. See, you cannot speak truth until you become truth. You have to be true first. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then literally, we have to be like that to have Jesus in us to walk like that. And there are people who remain in the bleachers despite the call of God on their life because the other things are more important to them than God. Some are not in the game because they're just comfortable sitting and they don't really seem to see the point of changing. They're stuck in the bleachers and they've been there for years. I'm just going through some list of things that I've observed. Some won't commit because they feel the church is a man-made organization, and so they do everything more than just attend occasionally. Listen to me, if you don't understand your local church, you're in trouble. If you don't understand the purpose of your local church, because God will not do his work through anything except through the local church. He holds the local church responsible for anything that comes through. And us pastors have the greatest responsibility because we stand here and give you the truth of the Word of God every day or every Sunday. And our responsibility is higher than yours. And he will operate and through the church. The judgment of God will come, but he will start where? In the house of God first. So they spectate from the bleachers occasionally. Some won't join the team because they were offended the last church they attended and have not forgiven them yet and prefer to remain alone and quiet and deceived. If you're staying at home, listening to me if you're watching this morning, if you're staying at home and you're offended by something, get over it. This season and time is not a time for you to be offended about something. If you're a person that's easily offended and you have not dealt with it, then what makes you think you're going to another church, you bear fruit and grow there? You cannot until you deal with the giant in your life in the church that you're in. Before I stood on this pulpit and spoke to you, God says, you have a giant that you need to go and slay before you can come and stand here and preach to the people and give them the truth of the word of life. Because without that, you should not be here speaking the word of God. And that's not just for me. That's for every person that claims to be a Christian, that claims to have the Spirit of God living inside of them. You must kill a giant in your life. You have the responsibility to destroy giants in your life before you cross over your promised land. God says he will take care of others, but your personal giants must be taken care of by yourself. And unforgiveness and offense is the biggest thing inside the church that stops the church from functioning and growing and become powerful inside the kingdom. And we are all responsible. All of us sitting here this morning are responsible. Hallelujah. Pause. Salah. Take a deep breath. It's all good. Everything is good. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. It's past time for everyone to set aside excuses and get into the game. Once we do, Jesus challenges us like Zacchaeus to deal with those issues and do what is right. Tell your neighbor, deal with it and let's move on. Hallelujah. Deal with it and let's move on. When I was running away from the responsibility of being a pastor, I rang my wife and my wife said, is it something that, you know, he touched on the giant in my life? She goes, is this the problem? Why you don't want to come? And I said, nope. And I proceed to type the answer to her. And the Holy Ghost says, that's a big lie. So I delete the whole thing again. And she's waiting for the answer. She wanted me to come back and take the responsibility of this church. And she's waiting. She sent me the message. She says, is this problem? And I went, no. And the Holy Ghost says, that's a lie. 3 times I did that. And the third time I walked into the bathroom. And as soon as I walked into the bathroom, my image came onto that screen or the mirror. And I broke down inside that bathroom and wept. And came back. Oops. Excuse me, sorry. I broke down. It's just like what Peter did. When he denied Christ. And I said, yes, that's the problem. You know what my wife said? Deal with it. Three words. I was waiting for some encouragement. I was waiting for, thank you, honey, I'm praying for you. You know, all this stuff, you know, trying to butter everything. And she just sent 3 words. Deal with it. Come back in, deal with it. Hallelujah. I said, whew. Yeah. So I had to listen to the Holy Spirit. Just as Pastor Nero told me. You know, I was sitting with my brother, and Judith was trying to go home because we were passing time. And we had to get up early for the next day, prepare for the crusade. And I'm sitting there enjoying fellowship, and she's already ready to go. And she goes, come on, we have to go. And I'm sitting down and I'm looking at Pastor Tevita, and he looked directly at me and he says, bro, I think sometimes we need to obey the Holy Ghost. You know, and I've never told him that story. This story, I'd never told him that. He just said that and I thought, whoo, my goodness. So, man, you have the Holy Ghost and you have your wife. You have two great helpers. They're in your life right now. Let me... Give a hand to our mothers and our fathers and our sisters and our husbands, our wives, please. You have the Holy Spirit and you have your helper. But, you know, Jesus called the Holy Ghost the helper. He is the helper. And then God gave the same thing to your wife. And he says, she is your helper. So you are in trouble, man. You, no matter where you turn, you are in trouble. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, tell your neighbor, what is it? Deal with it, get over it, join the team. As our slogan says, you feel the rhythm, you join the tribe. Woo, hallelujah. You feel the rhythm, join the tribe. Join that radical tribe of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You belong to a radical tribe. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm done. Praise the Lord. I just want to... That was my last word today, and that was this... little testimony that I gave you. You know, when we do, my friends, we will experience something never before experienced in the lifetime of you and I inside the church. Many of you have not seen revival. Many of us have come, we've seen revival. We've come from that. And I desire the fire of God to happen again inside the church of the Lord. And the only way it can happen is when we come together. When we are in one mind together, one heart together. And the most important thing is this, not doing our will or the way we think it should happen, but do it God's way. where God wants it to happen. Amen? That's the only way we will see the fire of God starting to happen inside the church. And it starts from you, my friends. It doesn't start from outside. You don't have to invite somebody who has had that experience to come and talk to you about it. You don't even have to teach about it. You know, this church has got some great teachings. You know, the school of prayer that Mama Julie brought, 8 series of prayer. You have no excuse whatsoever not to go through that. Ignite it inside your spirit and come for prayer. Combine prayer meeting on Saturday mornings. It's the toughest time to come to prayer. Getting up at 4:30 in the morning to come. And Jesus did that to show us that that's when the spiritual realm are active in that time. From 3 o'clock all the way down to 5. That's the most active time of witches and warlocks. And as long as you and I are asleep, look at the nation now. Look at the nation now and look at what the people are choosing, using their own will. Own will. They're not even using God's will. Hallelujah. Let me just bring this principle to you before I close. Hallelujah. The will of God is the most dangerous gift and the most precious gift that is given us. And I'll tell you why it's precious. It's precious because God has given us exactly what he has. The will. The power of the will. And it's most dangerous, you know why? Because we also have that ability to choose against God. And many of us use our willpower to choose against God. When we choose against God, then we are not walking according to what he wants us to walk. And look at the world now. Men are choosing their own willpower, using their willpower to go against what God is all about. From sin, from that sin, and that's you. Between that's where your willpower activates. And the will, the Holy Ghost, when I learned this, I stopped blaming the devil. The Holy Spirit does not force you to do anything. He deals with your will, the will that God has given us. And the same as the devil. Satan does not force you to do anything. Satan cannot come and grab your hand and put it on drugs and say, yeah, smoke this marijuana. Satan cannot do this and you go, oh, Satan, no, you take your hands off me. No, 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 you are forcing me. Have you ever felt Satan do that to you? No. He's got no power over you. We give him all that and give him glory when we say he's the one that's tempting us. He's the one that made us do it. No, he dealt with your will. And that's what we call temptation. Temptation comes when the enemy is working with your willpower. And you still have the power. You still have it to choose from right and wrong. And you, as a Christian, have no excuse. You know why? Because he gave you now the Holy Ghost living inside of you. And the Holy Spirit will be screaming at you, saying, that's wrong, don't go there. That's wrong, don't go there. And when you go against God's will, then you what? Suffer the consequences that come with it. Every choice you make has the consequences. As consequences that come with it. You know, when God says, you know, let me just close with this little testimony. People we were praying for, or people were praying for some people to get into the politics and parliament, and they lost their race, and you know, because there was all these pastors prophesying, saying you're going to be this, and you're going to be that, and you're going to be this. You know, God, when God speaks, God gives you conditions. He says, you'll become this if you do this. Not just do that. We all run after that, but we forget what he said about that. He says, that will become a success to you if you follow this. And I said to this brother, I said, you know what? Violation of God's principles is the most dangerous thing that we can do that will destroy the call of God in our lives. It's violating his principles, violating his word. That's why he said, Joshua, keep this word closer to you. Hallelujah. Psalm 1, favorite scripture. So I want to close with this encouragement to you today. Make the right choices. Because you have the Holy Ghost to make the choices for you. Hallelujah. Let him be convicted. See, guilty about something. If I'm preaching to you now and you're guilty, that means you haven't actually dealt with something. But if you're convicted, it's different. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. God is not about making you feel guilty. God is about making you convicted of what you are in. And that's the Holy Ghost's job, is convicting you right now. If you're sitting on that sycamore tree, that's the conviction to tell you, get down from there. Come into the tribe. Join the army of God. Let's go out and do great works for God. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said, you will do greater works than I have done. Because he was only one person in this place called Palestine or Israel, this little land, this real estate that they're fighting over right now. And it was one person. But when he said, I'm going to send a helper. And that helper is going to come. And he's going to live inside of each and every one of you. First, I have to clean you up first, because the helper doesn't live in an old wineskin. Hallelujah. It's going to be a new wineskin. So I'm going to bring this new wine. Hallelujah. And it's going to come. And it's going to live inside you. And then all of you will do greater things than I have done. Means that we will do more. More means that every part of the world we are there. Jesus was only in one place. In his outermost part of the world, in Jerusalem, in his outermost part in Samaria and all these other places. And then he said, and you will do greater things. That means the whole world will be full of God's glory. And that's you and I, hallelujah, filled with the Holy Spirit, doing the work of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for you. I want to pray if you're sitting on this sycamore tree, if you're sitting on the bleachers today, don't be ashamed. I'm not here to make you feel ashamed. We are not here to make you feel ashamed. God is not about making you feeling ashamed. God is here to challenge us, to get us out of our comfort zone so that we can do his work today. Because I believe, I truly believe, every person here today was called for something. You know, the gifts that are inside the church is so much. And I use examples like this. And you walk into the church and you look at all these beautiful things that have been done inside the church. The painting has been done. We were just about to do a working bee. But it's people that saw something. They saw the house of God needed something. And they turned up. And they did it. Praise God. And that's what God requires from each and every one of you today. Not just saying things and saying, oh, it's the pastor's job, or it's the deacon's job, or it's the elder's job, or it's the musician's job, or it's somebody else's job. We keep passing the buck like this. The church will never move forward. Every one of us that called by his name will see something and say, you know, I could do this. I could do that. Your skills, your gifts. It cannot be just spiritual. It can be physical stuff. You can do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, thank God, if you get the revelation. See, this thing doesn't, you don't capture it in your head. It has to be a revelation in your heart. It has to become a revelation before you can actually get up and go and do it. Amen? Hallelujah. I've got my brothers here. This is Pastor Natani. Pastor Tevita is the reverend for the St. Barnabas Uniting Church that we've connected to do the crusades up in the Cape. Pastor Tevita, Natani is the reverend for the Emmanuel Uniting Church right here. He's the new man that have sent down to take care of the church there. These are my covenant brothers. We covenant together to preach the gospel together in the Cape. And that's true, Pastor Joe, our crusade coordinator. You know, I want this church to be 80% out than 20% inside the church. This church to be 80% out, going out, going into the outermost part of the world, the byways and the highways, and preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. They're here to stand with us. That's the people we covenant with. Sometimes we think that God is going to move through some Pentecostal fire from a Pentecostal church. Hello, somebody. That should get that mindset of your head. God will use anybody. Anybody who's willing. Anybody who's willing to get off the bleachers and stand in the place where they can be counted. Anybody who's able to carry the cross. I want you to stand. I'm going to pray, but I want you to come. if you feel that you have a great calling in your life, if you're in a place where you think, I don't think I'm amounted to nothing, I don't think I can achieve anything in God. If that is you, come, let us lay hands on you today. Let us pray for you today. I was one of those guys that used to sit at the back and say, you know what, I don't want to get involved, I just want to support. Support what? Come. This man are going to lay hands on you, and we're going to pray with you to impart something in you that will transform your life today. Today, when you get out of this building, you will never be the same again. Hallelujah. I want the fire of God and the passion of God to be in your life today. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jen. Lead us in the prayer. Lead us in the song. And we're just going to give the Holy Spirit some time for Him to do His work in your life. I know you're there. It's a tough road to walk from there to here. It is. When you give your heart to, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, now is the great opportunity for you to do it. To come to God. Before God can use you mightily, God has to change the inside. The inside changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've never given your heart, if you walked away from Jesus, if you're just standing in, sitting on the fence or just watching from afar, family, friends, this is your time. This is your time. This is the hour of your salvation. This is the time for you to stand up and say, God, I'm going to serve you, regardless of what. Regardless of what men say against me. Regardless of what the world will throw stones at me. Regardless of the ridicule my friends will give me at school. Regardless of the peer pressure that I feel at school. I'm standing before you today. You young people, this is your call too. Because you're going to make the decision in the schools. They're bringing things in the schools that are not supposed to be for you.
Yes.
And I want you to remember that. Today is your call as well. Come and stand before God today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands.
Hallelujah.
From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until